Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris, thanks again. Welcome back. It is our top of the hour show, lunch hour here on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, good to be with you here on this Thursday. We got a full hour to cover here. Pat Corain is going to join us, talk about Jamison Crowder, some other interesting options in fantasy football, those of you who are doing best ball drafts. And Davis, how are you able to mix this in with all the other sports that are going on right now, doing best ball drafts with the U.S. Open, hosting this show, running Daily Roto, MLB The Show? Like, how can you mix that? Moving to a new house? Have I left anything out?
I'm very disciplined, Craig. That's what I do, man. I have a schedule, and I pretty much do the same thing every day. I don't waste a ton of time on my phone, and I habit stack. This is like the number one thing in the world. So like if I want to do some leisure time stuff, like if I want to do a best ball draft, I got to exercise. No sitting in best ball drafting. Got to go to the gym, got to go on a walk, got to do something. And then when it's time to do all the Daily Roto stuff, all the other tabs are closed, everything's locked down, I'm doing that. And then when I'm on this show during the breaks, I log out, I switch my screens, I get to, whatever lineups I need to get to. Like, it's all about being disciplined and having like good mental clarity.
Very impressive. Very impressive. You know, it was interesting. I was on the morning after this morning, and we were off the air. And Ariel asked me, I guess she's not getting a lot of sleep because she's watching all the NBA games at night, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then she like asked me the question, like, Craig, like, how many hours of sleep do you get every night? I guess she's not getting a lot. And she's like 5 or 6. And then Ben was like, yeah, not a lot. And then I'm like, I get 8 hours of sleep. I'm like, what? How do you do it? I'm like, well,
have to. I don't stop absolutely can't. Hands. Yeah.
I mean, I'm 48. If the Marlins are playing until 2 a.m., I'm sorry. If there's an NBA game until 3 in the morning, I'll wake up and watch all the game on YouTube, every single basket. They post all of them. And, my life changed. I had kids, and the Kings Blazers at 2 a.m. just got eliminated. You know, it's like, that's just part of life, but I can certainly understand. And I guess the point that I made also to her was, from a betting perspective, you're sweating these going, and no matter what the score is, a lot of time, I understand, like, you're sweating these going right down to the end. So I am sorry, Ariel and Ben and Mike Cardano, who gets 2 hours of sleep a night. I am sorry, guys. But I am usually sleeping 7-8 hours a night. I'll go to sleep at 11 o'clock. That's how I work. Here are the headlines here on the show as we begin hour number two, which have nothing to do with what I was talking about. The Nets look to advance tonight to the Eastern Conference Finals. All they have to do is hit on the money line for Davis and cover that 5.5 points. And then that'll be a fun conversation for us next week. How about the Lightning and Islanders? Their series heads back to Long Island tonight. So Carver and the boys will be in the house for game 3. 10 MLB games today. We got Baltimore and Cleveland starting up right now. I can understand, Davis, if you want to watch soccer instead of that game. I will hand that to you. I totally get it. It's not a game I'll be tuning into as well. Speaking of which, Euro Cup is going on. US Open is going on as well. So if you knew what you knew now about this course, and you knew what you knew now about the fog, and if it is my understanding, I played at Pebble Beach once before too, so I do get this. But if you knew that the fog was going to be a factor at all, and usually when it happens one day, it happens the next. I don't know what Saturday and Sunday looks like. I haven't checked the forecast. I mean, is there a strategy in DFS and betting on that based on weather and having to play through that? Because that would be new to me to discuss.
Well, it just means there's not going to be any roll. These fairways, I mean, maybe in the afternoon it gets dried out a little bit, but it really does mean the guys who are playing in the morning, if you hit your drive 310 yards, it's going to about 315. Not rolling out. Everything's going to be damp. Especially if you hit the rough, you are in the rough. That ball is going to plug in there. You are not getting any friendly bounces. I actually, you know what though? Way more interesting to me than any of this is the sleep conversation, because I'm with you 100%. Okay. There is not a sporting event that they could run that would make me sacrifice my 8 hours of sleep a night. I mean, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder could be playing the game 7 of the NBA championship, and if I had to get up at 6 o'clock the next day, like, I will figure out what happened in that game in the morning. Like, I, you know, it just does not matter. You got to get the 8 hours. Everything in your life functions off of how much sleep you get. And if you are not getting enough sleep, you're going to be cranky. Your cortisol levels are going to be way up. You're going to get fat. And then when you're fat and stressed out, you can't sleep. And it just be like, I'm telling you, dude, you got to get 8 hours of sleep. It's literally the most important thing in life.
Yeah, and sometimes I don't. But, you know, the game changer for me was when I had my first child, my daughter, and then having my son. And I still fought that for a while because I was still relatively young. I think I was 30 or somewhere along the lines, or 32 or 33, whatever it was. But then the notion, Davis, that I'm going to be watching cartoons at like 6, 7 a.m., you know, and it's like, yeah, I can kind of like sleep my way through that, but I'm going to be half conscious for that. And that was the game changer. Once that happened, I'm like, you know what? It is not worth it. I'm done. But look, that's not to say every once in a while there is a game that I'll watch. Look, if the Marlins are playing late night and the game is compelling, I'll do it. But I can tell you, they played in LA 4 days in a row, and I didn't make any of the endings of all of them. So I'm glad I don't feel old. And I have Davis to take that ride with me there. Okay, coming up next, fantasy football discussion. Pat Corain, one of the best in the business, joins Davis next. And then Davis and I are going to break down the Minnesota Vikings from a fantasy football perspective. So stay with us and stay on the grid. We're back in just 2 minutes here on Fantasy.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So your investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by my buddy Pat Corain. Like every week, we got some news and notes. Mini camps are happening. Guys are banging up their hamstrings. Contracts are getting restructured. Hyperbole from the beat writers has begun, and it's not fully yet. You know, when training camp is here, then the full fire hose will be turned on. But there are some nuggets for us to be diving into, and you wouldn't think this, but the Jamison Crowder contract restructuring has actually had like a real impact on fantasy football drafting, Pat, because a lot of people were anticipating him being cut, going to a wide receiver needy team. That is not going to be the case now.
Yeah, I think there was a real reason to expect that he was going to get cut, because what was happening was the Jets were asking him to take a pay cut solely for the purpose of not wanting to pay him money. They did not need the cap room. They're well under the cap. It was just that he didn't have any guaranteed money left, and they just didn't feel like paying him. So it was pretty disrespectful to Jamison Crowder, who was the number one wide receiver last year. And in that situation, you might think that he might just say, pay me or cut me and walk. But they did restructure, so it changes things up a bit. I think it will probably hurt Elijah Moore's ADP a little bit, who was one of the biggest buzz candidates for this entire offseason. But I don't know that it'll hurt Elijah Moore as much as it might hurt Denzel Mims, because it seems like Moore is playing all over the field and not just out of the slot. There were reports that Braxton Berrios was seeing a ton of targets from Zach Wilson. Well, if Braxton Berrios is seeing a ton of targets, he's a true slot guy. So that would lead you to believe that Elijah Moore isn't just running out of the slot. And that was also what the beats were saying. So if Moore's getting more outside work while Crowder's in the slot, and you have Corey Davis there, and Mims was already running behind Keelan Cole in training camp, I think this could be bad news for Denzel Mims.
Yeah, I mean, and this is kind of the nightmare scenario for how this plays out. Like, let's even say we exist in a world where Zach Wilson is really good and he has this, you know, very positive effect on the Jets offense. They're able to implement some of the Shanahan principles that Robert Saleh would have brought with him over from San Francisco, and things are working, and Michael Carter scoring points, and Chris Herndon is finally a guy you can start in fantasy.
Let's not go too far.
Yeah, it's not. But it's still kind of a nightmare, because then what it kind of sounds like is this is going to be a Philadelphia Eagles situation where Mims is kind of the fourth wide receiver and he's backing up both Elijah Moore and Corey Davis, but then also Braxton Berrios is rotating in, and Elijah Moore is I mean, to be honest, Elijah Moore would not be playing his ideal position with this Jamison Crowder thing. Like Elijah Moore is a slot wide receiver in the NFL. It doesn't mean he's not going to be able to produce playing on the outside, but that's ideally where we would have wanted him. Before this news, I actually did like the backdoor jet stack, because Zach Wilson was going, I mean, the last of all the rookie quarterbacks. You could get him at, like, you know, pick 170 or 15th, 16th round picks, and it would just kind of work out because Mims was cheap, Corey Davis was cheap, Elijah Moore is cheap. But now Jamison Crowder is going to become incrementally more expensive, but I just am not going to be interested in taking Denzel Mims. So it's kind of a no-win scenario, and I am not very excited about the Jets offense for fantasy at this point.
So I'm still somewhat interested in Elijah Moore because, again, going back to what just happened with Crowder, they just disrespected him over a contract unnecessarily. Elijah Moore has been tearing up minicamp and OTAs. If he keeps that up through training camp, I don't think they're keeping him off the field. And I think that might mean that he plays out of the slot and is taking some snaps from Jamison Crowder. I don't know that Jamison Crowder is going to be able to keep Elijah Moore off the field. Moore is going to be rotating around so Crowder can still get some reps. So he's the guy that I would say maybe is a single stack with Zach Wilson is still pretty appealing. I agree, though, it's tough after that because I don't want to take Crowder. I don't want to take Mims. I guess you could go with like a Keelan Cole, like true last round flyer. But
yeah,
that's
but
not
we've
that
we've done this with Keelan Cole before,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, touting that. But I think with Elijah Moore, he has enough upside and his price should slip on this news. So that's the silver lining here, is that he should come cheaper now, at least, even though it does hurt him a little bit.
Do you think there is any chance that as a result of the contract restructuring, it's easier to trade Jamison Crowder now? That's more of like an NBA thing, but obviously with a smaller cap number, it would be a lot easier for someone to throw the Jets, you know, fifth round pick or whatever for Crowder.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that would that's actually probably best case scenario for Crowder, for Moore, and for the Jets, honestly. Like, I think that kind of works out for everyone. AFC East team, though, loads of news. I mean, this is just classic NBC Sports Edge bias, but there are so many updates on the New England Patriots. A couple realistic ones. I think a huge question for fantasy is one of Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry actually going to be the dominant receiving tight end there? Because the wide receiver grouping, not really that strong, right? Aguilar's had a couple good efficiency seasons, but, you know, whatever. Kendrick Bourne, the most whatever player ever. Jacoby Myers, the beat writers say, like, oh, don't be surprised if this guy's the number one wide receiver. But theoretically, if one of Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith was going to be the dominant receiving tight end in that scheme, there should be a lot of numbers out there for that guy, because, you know, I think we all think Cam will probably start about 4 or 5 games, and then he will make way for Mac Jones, who, you know, looks like a capable and adequate passer at the NFL level. But Jonnu Smith already banged up here in minicamp, is dealing with a hamstring injury. I mean, it would not be insane to be like, okay, this was an open competition between those guys to see who gets the move role. And if Jonnu Smith can't practice, that would seem to me to think that Hunter Henry would take, you know, pole position for that role.
Yeah, and I think we'll need that in order for one of these guys to really become the dominant guy, because I don't think that one of them is clearly better than the other. I think they're both promising players who are good, but neither one of them is great. They've both, like, flashed at times, but I don't think is one purely on talent, purely on playmaking ability, is going to pull ahead of the other. They're most likely going to cannibalize each other if healthy. So I do think you need one of those guys to be hurt for the other guy to really take on a huge fantasy role. With the wide receivers, you know, Jacoby Myers is getting some buzz, and
he sure is.
I kind of like Jacoby Myers. He's been this guy that I've kind of kept the light on for. I mean, 2.24 yards per route run last year, had a huge role, was taking on a huge share of the offense at times, was like really the only guy they had for portions of the season, and to be playing very efficiently on a per route basis while there's not really much around you and with pretty bad quarterback play is impressive to me. So I would be pretty interested in him if Mac Jones ends up being good. Nelson Agholor, as you mentioned, he was also pretty efficient last year, but has been so inconsistent throughout his career that it's tough to be excited about any of these guys. But Myers has been very, very cheap, and I think he's got as much upside as any of these wide receivers.
Yeah, and Myers, a very interesting career, like 8.9 yards per target, pretty good for the role he's played, above average in the offenses he's played in. 41 targets as an undrafted free agent rookie, that is like way above the baseline expectation. Had a couple stretches for New England last year where he was like their only positive impact player on offense, but has played in 29 games, recorded 122 targets, and has not scored a touchdown. Like one of the most hilarious and most Cam Newton Patriots things ever.
Yeah, that's a Cam Newton thing.
Yeah, one last question here. Are you buying this idea that Ramondre Stevenson is going to catch passes?
Yes. He had the second highest yards per route run over his career in the entire class behind Kenneth Gainwell. The dude can catch passes.
Yeah, I've had a couple. So I was talking about this on the show last week, and I had a couple people reach out to me, like, you know, Bill Belichick just refuses to play rookie running backs on third downs. Like, he would rather throw Brandon Bolden, who's got to be like 33 years old at this point, out there on third downs instead. But I am still leaving a light on for Stevenson. Still drafting a lot of James White, though. I feel like at any time he's going to be traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just so that he can go reunite with his guy, Tom Brady. We are going to run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. See you guys in just a few minutes for a continuation of our best ball previews.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
football season in terms of draft really comes in about a month or two from now. We're taking an early look at some of the teams in the NFL, and today our focus is the Minnesota Vikings. As a lot to get into here on this one, Davis, because clearly they have one of the best running backs in the NFL, one of the top few picks in fantasy football. But man, the wide receiver that they let go last year in Stephon Diggs ended up in a new location and really put some question marks into the quarterbacking, I think, of the Minnesota Vikings. But regardless of that, Kirk Cousins is back again for another season, and they're lucky they were able to replace Diggs, that's for sure.
They were lucky. I mean, you know, you always like to think that the guys that you're going to draft are going to end up being as great as, you know, that they're going to end up being as great as the guy you drafted them to replace. So the Vikings feel very happy about that. But they are definitely, you know, they're definitely one of those teams where it kind of feels like Groundhog Day. Like the same things that I would have said about them last year in preparation, you know, for the season would be very similar, except, you know, you sub out Steph Diggs for Justin Jefferson. Like really the roles are remarkably similar, and kind of everyone on their offense just kind of does their job.
Yeah. Well, with Cousins, I mean, look, we kind of know who he is by now. You know, he's going to have some good games. He's going to have some bad games. I thought that he really last year was really beginning the trajectory of showing how good he could be. And then of course, Dalvin Cook got hurt and things, you know, sort of changed for him. So there's always that one player, I think, Davis, in your fantasy league, that is always going to build the positive narrative on Cousins and say, well, what if this is the year? The Vikings have really shown no inclination to go away from him, but I don't know. I mean, time does seem to be getting a little thin with his career in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, I actually have to say I'm probably higher on Kirk Cousins than the market in general. He has been a good quarterback for Minnesota. You know, quarterback rating above 100, has generally had, you know, yards per attempt above 8, the last 2 years. Now, certainly he has good wide receivers, Adam Thielen, Irv Smith Jr., Justin Jefferson, that all helps. And he's a little bit better for fantasy than people remember. Quarterback 8, quarterback 5, quarterback 6, 13, 12, and 11, his time in Minnesota. So like he kind of is just your bottom end, like back tier starter in fantasy leagues. Now, the good thing for Kirk Cousins in these best ball drafts is there is absolutely no guessing on the stacks. You know exactly who to take. You're not guessing on a third wide receiver or second tight ends. You know, if I take Justin Jefferson in the second round and I get Kirk Cousins, that's my stack. I can take Adam Thielen in the sixth round. There's my double stack. I got it. I got it locked up. You know, I'm not worried about, you know, a random guy interrupting Justin Jefferson's performance. And I think maybe that is something that gets a little bit overlooked in these drafts, actually, because just having that solidity and knowing when your spiked weeks are going to run together, I think there is big value in that. So it sounds like I'm a little bit bigger of a fan of Kirk Cousins than you.
Yeah, it's just a frustrating player to watch, I think, for the most part. Because I think that there's more there. They did draft Kellen Mond in the draft, but I mean, I don't foresee him being a factor this year. That's for sure. That's the kind of player that needs to sit for a year for sure. But who knows what 2022 could look like. I was not a huge Mond guy in college. Okay, so Dalvin Cook, Davis, is going to be drafted top 5 in every fantasy draft. And everyone knows who he is. So I guess the better advice at this point is that if you decide to take Dalvin Cook in the top 5 picks, what are some of the insurance policies that you would suggest? Is there an insurance policy you should suggest? Because history does pretty much lay out that he's going to miss some games over the course of the regular season.
Yeah, so kind of the way I think in these best ball drafts is you are drafting for first place. It's like playing a large field tournament on FanDuel, you know, on week 5 of the NFL season. Getting 10th place doesn't matter. We really care about getting first place, and you're not going to get first place if Dalvin Cook gets hurt. It doesn't matter if you take Alexander Mattison. It doesn't matter if you have his handcuff. If your first round pick gets hurt, you're pretty much kind of toast anyways. Now, with Dalvin Cook specifically, I think an insurance policy overall, just thinking that way, does make more sense, because his specific injury, this AC joint injury he has on his shoulder, all the doctor, you know, medical people that I follow for football stuff, they all say, this issue is never going away. There's not a surgery that can fix it.
There's not, you know, restorative yoga he can do to get it back to its original state. This is going to be a shoulder injury that Dalvin Cook is dealing with basically for the rest of his life. And, you know, if he wasn't a professional football player, it probably wouldn't matter that much. It wouldn't be something that would interfere with his day-to-day life. But look, if week two comes and he takes a helmet to his AC joint and his shoulder pops out of place or it gets bruised, it's going to be harder for him to heal and get back in the lineup than it would be for your average NFL running back. So I think that, you know, if I'm sitting there on the clock and I'm like, okay, do I want Derrick Henry or do I want Dalvin Cook? You know, me personally, I'm not taking Dalvin Cook second overall, which is where his average draft position is right now. I kind of think he's like the third or fourth guy just because that shoulder injury is a real concern. I don't mean to take anything away from him on the field, though. I mean, he is unbelievable. Almost 2,000 scrimmage yards in 14 games last year, 17 touchdowns, 44 receptions. Like, he's unbelievable. You know, he's Dalvin Cook. He's amazing.
Do you think Madison could be close to what Dalvin Cook is? Because in the opportunities he's gotten, everyone was real excited. I would say he fell short of what people thought he could be.
So I'm not a big Alexander Madison guy. If you look at what he has done in the past when Dalvin Cook's got injured, he has really struggled in those games. And the most important part is that they don't just immediately sub Madison in to playing Dalvin Cook's role. They play someone else on third downs. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, it's been Mike Boone and Amir Abdullah. Mike Boone is now a member of the Denver Broncos. He's not on the roster. They added a really intriguing guy from Iowa State. He was not a full-time player in college, Kenne Nwangu, but he, like, in the underwear Olympics, right, the combine, I mean, the numbers this guy put together, he's like 210 pounds, runs a 4.3, you know, bench presses like off the moon. Like, it's unbelievable. And the Vikings like guys like that. If you look at the profile of guys that they draft on both sides of the ball, they're very invested in the super athletes. Jerick McKinnon, the last running back who was a super athlete that the Vikings really liked, and that was even back when they had Adrian Peterson on the roster. So I am not a big Alexander Madison guy, and I do not take him at his ADP at all, really.
All right, fair enough. Let's go over to wide receiver Adam Thielen, who is pretty much, when healthy, is as solid as they come. He's going to have some really big games, 90-catch guy. 8 to 10 touchdowns, pretty much lock and load every year in fantasy as your wide receiver two. But Justin Jefferson was drafted last year, and regardless of, I mean, certainly Dave is only having really one good year at LSU, kind of like Joe Burrow. I mean, just parlayed that into one of the best rookie wide receiver seasons you could possibly ask for, and maybe not even the season, maybe like the last 10 games of the season. I mean, he just came on, and he was incredible. I'm sure at this point he's going to be drafted higher than where Adam Thielen is drafting, but what is your, you know, kind of level of optimism for him this year?
Yeah, so Justin Jefferson didn't even really play the first two games of the season. He played 36 snaps in week one and 29 snaps in week two. Starting in week three, he became a full-time player. Week three against the Tennessee Titans, 7 receptions, 175 yards, and a touchdown. After it was all said and done, 88 receptions, 1,400 yards on the nose, 7 touchdowns, including 2 separate 2-touchdown games. He was phenomenal. He was amazing. There is not a cornerback in the league who can touch him. But if you want him, if you believe, you absolutely have to pay through the nose for him. I mean, right now in drafts, he's going ahead of A.J. Brown, you know, going in the same range as DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, you know, true, proven wide receiver ones. And I don't have anything negative per se to say about Justin Jefferson, but he is very expensive. So, you know, I compare him to someone like CeeDee Lamb, who, well, you know, granted had 500 fewer yards and 2 fewer touchdowns than Jefferson did. But, you know, I feel like Jefferson almost has kind of already shown us what a peak season for him would look like, you know, and maybe he scores 15 touchdowns this year and I look ridiculous and he's the best player in fantasy, right? That's totally possible. But I feel like he's being priced appropriately. I don't think he is like a huge value.
Well, they really haven't used the third wide receiver in a number of years, so I wouldn't expect to guess on that. If you have one, feel free to throw it out. But Irv Smith, to me, would kind of serve as that third wide receiver. I know he's a tight end, but thank goodness we'll finally get to see what he can be with Kyle Rudolph out of the picture. It always felt like they never were really willing to give Irv Smith those goal line opportunities and even first down opportunities. But this kid is just a ton of talent. Dad played in the NFL too. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, no, you are correct. I'm excited as well. Now, the coaching staff in Minnesota, they can't ever make anything easier. So a couple days ago, Mike Zimmer was talking about their backup tight end, Tyler Conklin, as being the big winner of Kyle Rudolph's departure in free agency. Don't know if I particularly buy that. I think that might be a little bit of a preseason coach speak to keep guys motivated and engaged. Irv Smith, I actually think relative to what his ceiling is, I think he seems cheap. He goes about 120th overall, so that's kind of in that 11th, 12th round range. I mean, if he plays 80% of the snaps and plays 16 games, you know, I think we're thinking about 800 yards, 5-6 touchdowns, which is, you know, does not sound like a lot, but for a tight end in this environment in fantasy football, that would be massive because, you know, their third wide receiver, you know, Amir Smith-Marset, KJ Osborne, these guys. So I'm excited about Irv Smith.
Yeah, me too. I always liked Irv Smith in college and good pedigree and, you know, good background there. I'd like to see him catch 50 balls this year. We'll see if it'll happen. All right, that's our look at the Minnesota Vikings in 2021. Very clearly, it's Dalvin Cook.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Look, and Justin Jefferson's world, we're just living in it in fantasy football. We'll have another one tomorrow right here for you on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid, and we'll be right back. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock with you here on the show. And Davis, as you planned, Denmark took that 1-0 lead, but what's going on here? Belgium with a huge comeback in the Euro Cup. I mean, everybody around my neighborhood is just going crazy.
Yeah, they're going crazy because my guy, Kevin De Bruyne, subbed in at halftime. Dries Mertens comes off. I said on the Sports Grid 60 yesterday, look, you got to bet Belgium. I know it's a really emotional spot for Denmark. They scored right away. But yeah, I mean, a team this good, you just cannot hold them off. So it's 2-1. We have about 10 minutes left of this game, and we'll see how this last 10 minutes plays out. But it's some phenomenal soccer being played. I, you know, I feel bad for anyone who's missing out.
And what do you have them at? +300 or something? What did I see? You tweeted something.
Yeah, so I bet them yesterday when I gave it out on the show, I bet them at -180, but then Denmark scores right away and I go pull up the live betting stuff and FanDuel had them listed at +300 live. So a little bit of live action here on Belgium. So you feeling good about that?
All right. Keep talking. They'll put you on in-game live tonight, Davis. All right. Let's bring in Brett Levy. He's got our questions for fantasy or reality. He looks like he shaved today. He combed his hair. It's nice. He's ready to go. He's got some good questions. What do you got today, Brett?
I do the whole look for you, Craig. It's all for
you. Thank you.
Thank you. So anyway, we got the U.S. Open underway. It's a big weekend out in Torrey Pines. But the big talk's Phil Mickelson. Everyone's excited. He won the last major championship, the PGA Championship. He's never won a U.S. Open. So we have to ask, Davis, we'll start with you. Phil Mickelson will be in contention on Sunday. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, you know, for me, this is going to be a fantasy. This is, it's not a particularly good setup for Phil, you know, super long course. And, you know, as I mentioned the other day when we were talking about Phil on the show, is that was basically one of the most anomalous winners you were ever going to find for a major championship. And Phil is, you know, in his 50s now. He is, he just is not able to keep up with the spring chickens the way that he used to. And that's not even saying anything negative about Phil Mickelson. Like, you know, that's just life. You know, it's very hard to be amazing at an athletic activity in your 50s. So I think the length of the course, I think the difficulty of getting out of the rough and everything, I think it's just going to be too much. So I'm going to say this is a fantasy. Phil Mickelson will not be in contention on Sunday.
You know, I share the same thoughts. Of course, I think it would be nice to have this happen, even without him winning. It would be nice for him to be in it. The other thing that I had heard, I think it was watching last week somewhere, and I never remember when I'm watching golf stuff who said it, but somebody had asked sort of a similar question, and it was mentioned that somebody who is in their 50s, as you mentioned, it's not that they're going to need a month to recover from a championship, but this is just not enough time in between the PGA Championship and US Open for somebody at what Phil is trying to accomplish to win. Would have needed some more time. Like normally when the championships are around, you usually have like a month and a half in between, but he did not. And no one did, by the way, from the last one to this one. So I'm going to be on board with you, Davis, here. I think that you're right. I think it is a reality. It would be a nice story. If they do play, by the way, if they do play the British Open, which I believe they're trying to do, I would be a little bit more bullish on his opportunity there with the experience that he's had. But yeah, I'll go fantasy here with the U.S. Open. And Brett also brought up the key point that he's never won the U.S. Open.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun to see him in contention on Sunday. We're going over to the NFL now, though, guys, because the former number one recruit in his class, former first-round draft pick, Robert Nimdichke, is a roster minimum player on the Seattle Seahawks. He was out of the league last season due to multiple off-the-field issues. He played last for the Miami Dolphins in 2019, but he's 26 years old. We mentioned he's the former number one recruit in his class, first-round draft pick, so we have to ask, Craig, we'll start with you. The former Dolphin, Robert Nimdichke, will make the Seattle Seahawks roster. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, you know, I'm going to try and steal what Davis is going to say and use the reasoning behind it because I have a feeling we may be thinking the same thing, although I'm not sure. If he was going to make a team, he's got the right coach in his corner here because Pete Carroll is all about these sort of stories, just like Bill Belichick, finding the guy that somebody's willing to toss away, you know, making them back, you know, making them do a good job. I mean, Seattle has taken on these insane reclamation projects, guys who have been suspended, because Pete Carroll is one of the most liked coaches for his players. Maybe Russell Wilson doesn't feel that way, but in general, that's the way that he has been. So I'm going to say reality. He found himself a really good spot. I think, wasn't Deion Jordan on Seattle there for a while too? Anyway, I'm going to go reality here. I think that there's a good chance that he makes it. And then, of course, he flames out. We don't hear from him ever again. But I think he makes it.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I mean, you stole everything I was going to say, that of the 32 NFL teams where, you know, a first round pick who is super athletic, has a lot of tools, but, you know, for whatever reason, wasn't able to stick on an NFL roster. You know, I don't know if this guy was, I mean, I assume probably off-field issues, you know, not being in shape, not passing physicals, things like that. If you were going to say, okay, what team's going to give that guy a chance? What team is going to let that guy compete for a roster spot without any concerns of, to, you know, who is making what money, contract status and everything? it would be Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. That's been his thing the entire time he's been the coach of that organization, right? Josh Gordon on that roster, and they pretty much, like, off the field issues, whatever. It's all about whoever is playing the best football at that time. So I will say reality. He is going to make the roster and is going to end up playing some snaps for them.
All right. Our last question of the day, we're going to the baseball diamond. The Arizona Diamondbacks have lost 22 straight road baseball games, 13 overall in a row, but they get Zach Gallen back today. He's on the mound. The Giants are starting Kevin Gausman. Davis, we'll start with you. You know we have to ask. The Diamondbacks will win this afternoon. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I think when it rains, it pours. So I'm gonna say that this is not gonna happen. I know they get Gallen back. Trust me, I am wishing, I'm hoping, I need every win, every inning, every strikeout available for my NFBC main event team that has one Mr. Zach Gallen on it. But I don't think they're going to. I think Gausman is good enough. And I mean, look, the Diamondbacks, they're just, their lineup is so bad. I mean, you know, Carson Kelly and Josh Reddick. I mean, why is Josh Reddick even on a Major League Baseball roster at this point? Like, seriously, what is the purpose of him being around? Josh Reddick, he's got to be like 39 years old at this point. Like, yeah. I feel like he has just been around for so long. Like, shouldn't Dalton Varsho just be playing his plate appearances? Like, shouldn't they be figuring out if Dalton Varsho is any good? I mean, you've never heard so much about a prospect as you have about Dalton Varsho, and now all of a sudden we can't get him plate appearances over Josh Reddick. Like, it's not a fun season for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, no one thought, by the way, Josh Reddick was going to play this year. I think that he only signed in April or something like that. Yeah, I mean, he had a really nice career, but I don't think anybody envisioned him playing. So, look, in terms of Zach Gallen, last year, May, June, Topps Chrome comes out. I'm buying all these Zach Gallen cards. I got his refractors. I got his rookies. I got more Zach Gallen cards than anybody could possibly need. And I got to be honest, I'm very upset with Zach Gallen. I mean, I get it. I understand you didn't like the way that the Marlins dealt you there. They got Jazz Chisholm. Jazz is popping off on podcasts saying he's going to hit a home run off you. You know, the president of the team may not have said the best things in the world when they traded Zach Gallen, not about him, but about his talent. They were very lucky to get Jazz in return. They made the deal. It looked bad for the Marlins initially. Gallen looked like one of the best pitchers in baseball. What's happened since then? Jazz has been great. Gallen's been hurt. Maybe there's some hurt feelings there. I'm not really quite sure what's going on today, but here's what I know. This is let the trend be your friend. You do not fade a team when they're going against a team that's lost 22 games in a row. You just don't do it. You let somebody else take that shot. If somebody builds you a narrative that says, well, the team has to win sometime, and you keep betting that, you're going to be losing money. Kevin Gausman, I think next week, Davis, we're going to find out, is maybe in for a rude awakening. I don't know. I have a bad feeling about the RPMs with Kevin Gausman coming next week. I don't know. Something tells me that he's been way too good for the season that he's had this year. And even into last year, it's a minus 210, so I'm not going to bet it. But I do think that the Diamondbacks will not win this afternoon. So I'm going to say that this is fantasy. And you're right. They should be playing young guys. But what happens is the front office still holds out like meager hope, even though they're 23 games under 500, that something can happen. And then the deadline comes on July 30th, Davis, and you see Dalton Varsho play every single day in August. And every single day in September, and every minor league player that Arizona has they're all coming up on August the 1st, but they still got to sell some tickets, and therefore that's the way it goes.
It's the way it goes. I mean, it's like, this is the most frustrating thing. I mean, there are so many frustrating things about being a fan of a baseball team. Like, I don't know. Don't you feel like baseball is really having a tough time right now with keeping people engaged with the sport? Like, I know me as a Royals fan, like, Bobby Witt Jr. hit for the cycle last night in AAA, and it's like the team sucks, but they're not calling him up because they don't want to pay him money. They don't want to start his service time. And, you know, I think baseball, tell me if you think this is true. Do you think that baseball has gotten cocky? Like, do you think that they're just like, look, we're going to get our money. We have our TV deals. We have, you know, the people, like in local markets, baseball will always be huge, right? In St. Louis, we are a Cardinals city. Like, mm-hmm. The Cardinals can suck. Doesn't matter. People will always go to the games. People will always watch. But I feel like baseball has gotten too cocky, given all of the entertainment options that exist in the world. And I just feel like something has got to change. I feel like baseball is kind of capitulating.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about cocky, but look, I mean, Davis, the Marlins sold for $1 billion. The Marlins,
yes,
sold for $1 billion. And so it's not about being cocky. It's just about, like, the money is always going to be there for them. And when you hear people say that baseball is fading and the interest is fading, well, guess what? At a very granular level, Davis, your kids and my kids and Brett's kids, they're all going to be playing Little League Baseball, man. Like, baseball is not going away on any level. Now, in terms of its popularity as compared to the other sports, I mean, it's undeniable that basketball and football have moved ahead. But there always will be baseball. Yes, the fighting is annoying. The CBA is annoying. The only thing that can save this thing as far as getting it above basketball or above football or getting even on that level will be the next CBA. They got to do a 10-year contract. We can never hear about the stuff that's happening ever again. But listen, the drama, people like drama. We're going to get more of it next week, no doubt. All right, we'll be back with more fantasy sports today here on Sports Grid. It's time for the Sports Grid 60, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a quick programming reminder, it is the summer months, so of course I will be taking some time off, maybe Davis will as well. We've got some good July 4th programming for you. Tomorrow on the show, George Kurtz will be filling in for me, so I do hope that everybody has a really good weekend, although I will be here with Jim Sannis tomorrow previewing NASCAR like I always do. But with that being said, we're not done yet. 2 minutes left. So Davis has 1 minute to close our show out here on this Thursday. And I'm wondering what's on his mind with the Sports Grid 60. Davis, what do you got?
Yeah, well, you know, I figure it went so swimmingly yesterday. I gave out Belgium at -180. Now, they did make you sweat a little bit, right? But I figured this is going to be my time of the show. You know, Craig cedes the floor. And it's just whatever I want. So we're talking about the European Championships. And for tomorrow, we got three games: Sweden, Slovakia, Croatia, the Czech Republic, and England, Scotland. Deeper odds on this one, but I'm going to give out England at -1.5 goals, even money against Scotland. Make no bones about it. This is a grudge match, and Scotland are pitiful, man. They are rough. It's kind of surprising that they even made it into the tournament for me. So we are going to give out England tomorrow for a little bit more of a soccer sweat for the listeners.
All right, I want to end on a note here. We talked about, you know, baseball having its issues. Let me give you the issue that I sort of have with the NBA. Now, this time of the year, it's great basketball. You have teams playing for the championship. You have their superstars. But what I don't like about the NBA is the fact that no city that drafts their player gets to enjoy them. What do I mean by that? I'm seeing reports about Zion Williamson maybe wanting to leave New Orleans. The dude has been there 2 years. They fired their coach. Yesterday, the Dallas Mavericks make a change. Could it be something regarding Luka Doncic? We had Giannis almost leaving Milwaukee. Like, you draft the guy becomes a star, and then within 2 years, you're already worried or you're about losing the guy. And that does not happen in all sports, but it does happen in the NBA, and that bothers me a little bit. Players are always looking to leave as soon as they get there. Maybe we got to find a way to fix that, too. We'll take a quick break here on our show, which means we're at the end of the line. Thanks again for watching. I will see you on Monday. Davis will be here tomorrow.